It's really important that we have something to share when people are asking us. Not just to sit and to hear and then just to go on our own business. But we come and we sit and we hear and then do something about what we have heard, taking the gospel, taking the message out to the lost and sharing with them of the coming judgment.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has studied the Bible for 5 decades. His goal is to ground you in Scripture so when people question your faith, you can confidently stand for God's truth and share your hope of salvation in Christ. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Thanks for joining us today for our continuing focus on sharing God's love with the spiritually lost. As Raul explores how the Lord commissioned the prophet Ezekiel to warn and direct the Israelites, you'll see that God has sent you out, equipped with His Word and its truth as your best tool for pointing people to salvation. Stay with us for an exhortation to fill yourself with the words of Scripture to help others with their doubts or uncertainties about the gospel. Today's lesson is titled Evangelize. Beginning in Ezekiel chapter 3, here's Raul Reese.
The prophet Ezekiel had a very tough ministry given to him as the people of God already were going into captivity into Babylon. And he had been called by the Lord to speak for the Lord. But the problem is that God's people didn't want to listen to the prophet or to the Lord. And I thought this morning that Somebody Loves You Sunday, what a perfect opportunity to speak to the people of God out of this great chapter of the book of Ezekiel on the responsibility that you and I have in sharing evangelism with other people. And yet God now comes to this great prophet by the name of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is in a hard situation because Ezekiel is literally the prophet while the people of God already have gone into captivity. They're in Babylon. But God loves people and God wants to give an opportunity to people before it's too late, because we only have an amount of days and weeks and years and months that we live on this earth, and then our life's over. And when you think of your own parents and you think of your own aunts and uncles, cousins, nephews, friends, surely as believers, we should have an urgency to know Him and to warn them of disaster and judgment to come in the future. Especially in the days that we're living in today. That's why when John the Beloved writes in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 to the 7 churches, in the 7 churches message, at the end of every message, the Bible says what? That the Spirit says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Pay attention. Look around. Look what's going on. Look what's happening to the world. As Christians, we have a great responsibility to tell others about Jesus. Look what he says to Ezekiel, beginning with chapter 3, beginning with verses 1 and 3. As God gives him the scroll. He says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go and speak to the house of Israel. Now, how can we tell people about Jesus if we don't know His Word? You see? We say we know Jesus, but at the same time, we need to know His Word. Here the prophet is being asked to actually take the scroll and to divide it and rip it and eat it. As we need to, what, feed upon God's Word daily, every day, to sustain us, so that we can give an answer to anyone that would ask us a question about God or His Word. But if we don't read and we don't study and we don't meditate on God's Word, then what do we really have to give to people? Zero. Nothing. You see? We need to know Him. His Word. His Word needs, like Jeremiah the prophet, to say, His Word burns within my heart. It's burning inside. Because I see people perishing. People are going to go to hell. It's really important that we have something to share when people are asking us. God wants Ezekiel now to go. He's commissioning him to go to his own people and speak to them the word of the Lord. Look at verse 2. And so I, Ezekiel, opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give to you." So I ate it. And it was in my mouth like honey, notice, in sweetness. Notice, in my mouth as sweetness. And sure, the word of God is like honey and sweetness when we study it, when we feast upon it. There's nothing better than I love than to sit down and do a Bible study and to read the scriptures. And to have God speak to our hearts. To be edified, to build up the spirit. And yet I sometimes wonder, how can people do it day after day without sitting down and reading and praying and fellowshipping and really getting energized by the Holy Spirit? How can they make it throughout 7 days in a week without the Word of God? And yet Jesus said that the Word of God was more important than our daily bread every day. The importance of study, the importance of learning God's Word. In order to be a messenger for the Lord, in order to be ready to give an answer to those that ask us anything about God. Secondly, in verses 4 to 9 of chapter 3, the messenger sent to speak God's word. When God calls you, God prepares you, then God will commission you. And look what it says in verse 4. And then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." Now you see, if you don't prepare yourself, then God's never going to send you. If you really want the Holy Spirit to bring up information from Genesis to Revelation, you got to study it. So here is Ezekiel, verse 5, notice. "For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech or hard language, but to the house of Israel." I'm not sending you to any foreigners. I'm sending you to your own house. Those that speak Hebrew. To Israel. "Not to many people of unfamiliar speech or of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you." If I would have sent you to China, they would have been saved. If I would have sent you to India, they would have been saved. If I would have sent you to South America, they would have been saved. If I would have sent you to Africa, they would have been saved. But I'm sending you to my own people, and guess what? They're not going to receive you. And they're not going to listen to me. How sad. Surely many years ago, we used to prepare and equip missionaries to go out the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And surely God has allowed hundreds and millions of people to come from other countries to our country. Some of them Christians. Some of them not Christian. And at the same time, what is the major religion of the world today trying to evangelize the whole world? Christians? No. Muslims probably will be the religion of the last days. All over South America, all over Africa, all over everywhere where you go, the Muslims are trying to evangelize. And yet here Ezekiel is told, if you went to somebody that did not know me, they would listen to you. But, verse 7, but the house of Israel will not listen to you. Why? Because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel impudent and hard-hearted. Then you say, well, why should I go then? If they're not going to listen, why should I go? Because God wants to give the opportunity. And if they reject it, they reject it. They can't ever say, God, you never told us. Oh, yes, I told you. I sent my prophets. My message was everywhere. If you went outside at night, you could see the stars and the moon. It declares my glory in the day, the sun. No one will be without excuse on the day of judgment and say, I never, ever received an opportunity. Everybody has an opportunity. God here giving the house of Israel one of the greatest opportunities, but they have a hardened heart. Verse 8, behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. God is saying you're going to go face to face with them and they're going to try to intimidate you. They're going to give you dirty looks, but don't fear them. I have sent you, Ezekiel. Do not be intimidated by them. Verse 9, like adamant stone harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You see? They didn't want to hear it. You ever meet people like that? Oh, surely you have. Family members, friends, people you work with. So sad that there are people that don't want to hear it. But yet I feel that we don't condemn people. We don't go out and try to convert them. We try to give them God's love and grace and mercy and then allow the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? I've done my job. Hey, my hands are clean. Your blood's not on me any longer. Your blood's upon you. I've done my job. I'm God's messenger boy. I'm telling you the truth. Then God said to Ezekiel, Chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. The messenger sent now by the Spirit of God. I'm going to send you by my Spirit. Verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. You see, it's not just reading the Bible. It's studying the Bible, meditating upon it, placing it in your hearts so that if it's in your heart, then you can speak forth the word of God. It has to penetrate your heart before it can penetrate anybody else's heart. Is the word of God changing you? How effective is the word of God in your life? If the word of God is not changing you and transforming you, then how can other people believe you when they don't see it in your life? You see? You can't contradict God's word. And yet so many people do contradict the word of God. Verse 11. He says, and go and get to the captives of the children of Israel, your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from this place. And also I heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and the great thunderous noise. He's talking about the cherubims, the angelic beings in the presence of the throne of God. The ones that he's going to share with us in the next couple of chapters there. The cherubims, six wings. With two, they cover their faces. With two, they cover their body. And then with the other two, they cover their feet or they fly around. The cherubims, these angelic beings. And then check this out. This is so amazing. Verse 14. And so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. As the word of God was eaten and it started going down into his stomach and it started actually developing, it tasted sweet. But when it got to his belly, it was bitter. Bitter. Why? Because it was judgment that God was going to speak. Judgment. To their own people, to the people of God. And then verse 15 says, then I came to the captives at Tel Aviv, who dwell by the river of Chebar there in Babylon. I said where they sat, remain there astonished among them 7 days. What the prophet did and what any pastor will do is that he went out to the people without saying one word. He went out to the supermarkets. He went out to the people, wherever the people were. He sat down and he just observed people and he heard their conversations. 7 days without saying one word, just watching. Watching the people as they're going on with their lives. And then once he sat among them, then he could speak to them. Look what he says, beginning with verse 16 to 21, the watchman's warning. And then it came to pass after 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, so here comes the word of the Lord. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Ezekiel, and whoever your name may be today, I have made you a watchman. What is a watchman? Well, a watchman in the Old Testament was one that lived in a city. And in the city they had gates. And at certain times of the day and the evening, the gates would open and they would close. At sundown, as the gate was shut down, the city, people lived within the city. Businesses closed down. People would go back to their homes in the city. The watchmen would walk up into their towers at each corner of the city, and they would take a shofar with them and a sword. A shofar was a ram's horn. And they would literally stand guard over the city tower at night, looking into the darkness, waiting for the approaching enemy. And as they would see movement of the enemy, they would blow the shofar, and everybody in the city would be warned so that the city would not be defeated. They would have enough time to get up and get ready to fight against their enemy. You see, that's what a watchman is. One who warns people of judgment to come. We are the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? Look again, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words from my mouth and give them warning for me. Give them warning for me. Notice that. I am so thankful to God that we are still here today. We're here today because of God's grace, because God wants to use your life, my life, to reach and to touch needy people in the world today. That's why we exist, to touch people for Christ. We don't exist for ourselves. That's why we do crusades. That's why we spend money on radio, to reach people for Christ. It's really important that we understand what we've been called as a church. It's God's people. Not just to sit and to hear and then just to go on our own business. But we come and we sit and we hear and then do something about what we have heard, taking the gospel, taking the message out to the lost and sharing with them of the coming judgment, warning them. You say, do I have to do it? Well, let's read on. Verse 18. And when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning. So you're working at work with all these heathens, or your whole neighborhood is full of heathens, or wherever you are. And you have the truth of Jesus Christ. You have the light. They have the darkness. And they're stumbling and hitting walls and all that. And yet you have the light and you can share it with them, but you won't. You won't share it with them. I'm going to keep it all to myself. Look what he says. Yet, he says, when I say to the wicked, you shall die, and give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from their wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sin. But I want to let you know this. His blood I will require at your hand. Wow. Underline it. Not only the Old Testament, Paul the Apostle quoted from Ezekiel 3, 18 and 33 in Acts 18 and Acts 20. He said, I wash my hands from all men's blood. I'm not guilty of any person's soul because I have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. I can die at peace. Can you say that today? Can you say that today? You see? We're responsible to tell people. Verse 19. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wicked ways. So you go and you share, but they don't want nothing to do with you. Listen, you've done your job. You should be happy. Nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his sin, but you have delivered your soul. You're free. You can be at peace. You don't have to be feeling guilt. You see? You've done what God's called you to do, to deliver the message. To deliver the goods, and they have to make a decision. It's not for you to make that decision, it's for them to make that decision. And then on the other side, you have those that knew the truth of God, but they've walked away from the truth of God. Backsliders. You say, what happens to them? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he goes back into sinning. What happens to that person? And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. You mean to tell me that I have a responsibility to the non-believer and to the believer? Oh, yes, my friends. Yes. If you know, and you know a Christian's, are living a life of sin, and you're not saying nothing to them to bring them back to the truth, you are wrong. You're wrong. We need to warn. We don't convict people. We don't try to convert people. Here the prophet is saying this. This person will die. In the Old Testament, obedience to the law was righteousness. In the New Testament, righteousness comes through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are righteous by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then just think of how many Christians that are backslidden today, they think that living under those conditions are still going to go to heaven when God says they shall die. If they're not warned. If they don't return. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin and does not sin, he repents. He shall surely live because you notice he took warning. You exhorted him. He came back. Then what? Surely he shall live because he took warning. Also, guess what? You have delivered your soul. Notice how many times he says that. You have delivered your soul. You can sleep like a baby at night. You've done your job. You've done your job.
It's good to be reminded that just as we freely received God's gift of salvation, we need to boldly and freely share it with those around us. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. All you have to do is call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled Evangelize. We'd also like to tell you about a motivational resource from Raul simply titled The Call. It's a 5-part audio pack that further explores your God-given responsibility to point people to Jesus, allowing the Lord to work through you to spread the life-giving truth of the gospel. You'll see that when you fully submit to God, He'll draw others to Himself through the testimony of your life. Get in touch with us to purchase Raul's 5-message audio pack, The Call. To place your order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this 5-CD collection for a donation of $20 or more. That's 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to make God's truth easily accessible to you in a variety of free formats. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores relevant life issues from a biblical point of view. You can also download any Somebody Loves You radio program as a podcast using Spotify or iTunes. And you'll find more Bible study resources when you download our free app to your iPhone or Android. To stay connected with us throughout your day, be sure to like us on Instagram and friend us on Facebook. We're committed to helping you find hope and purpose in the pages of God's Word. Let us know if there's anything that we can do to better serve you, and be sure to share your prayer needs with us when you contact us. Donate now, and your contributions will help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through your continued partnership, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll dig further into God's Word to find out more about who He is and what He wants for our lives as His disciples. I am falling in love with you. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.